Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. This is the Progressive Commentary Hour. Today, the theme is the loss of our constitutional rights and how the deep state prevents us from paying attention. My guest, one of the top constitutional attorneys in the United States, John Whitehead. John is a civil attorney and author who's written, debated, and practiced widely in the area of constitutional law and human rights for the persecuted and oppressed. In 1982, he founded the Rutherford Institute, a nonprofit civil liberties and human rights organization headquartered in Charlottesville, Virginia. The Institute provides legal services to defend civil liberties and programs to educate the public on issues affecting their constitutional freedoms. John gained international renown for his role as co-counsel in Paula Jones' sexual harassment lawsuit against President Clinton. He has filed numerous amicus briefs before the U.S. Supreme Court and has been co-counsel in several landmark Supreme Court cases. He has also been on 60 Minutes and many other publications, and his book is Battleground America, The War on the American People. In a new edition of his Government of Wolves, The Emerging Government Police State, was recently released. John's weekly articles and column can be found on his website, rutherford.org. Nice to have you with us today, John.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Gary.
John, I'm going to simply divide our interview into three sections. I'll tell the public now what those sections are. The first is going to be what I believe was the first provable major coup in American history, where a group of insiders, let us call them the deep state, managed to select an individual and then assume that that person would be elected, Hillary Clinton. These people defended her husband, where other people were held accountable for crimes against women. He has not been held accountable, except only on the case that you won. And those individuals had so much power that they have lied before Congress. And now there's a major pushback where documents have been released, testimony gained, grand juries are now in session. And I believe over the next 3 months, we will see the beginning of the unraveling of the deep state and those individuals who were so confident in the outcome of their choices will be turning on each other. I'm going to ask you to address that. And by the way, this is in no way, shape, or form a defense of President Trump. As this audience well knows, I am not supportive of Trump on any issue. And that said, I don't support either the corporate or the corporate Democrat or corporate conservative community. I consider them substantially compromised and substantially beholden to those powerful interest groups. The second part of our conversation today will deal with the Constitution and what people do not know about it, and how the corporatization of all things has shredded our Constitution. Everything from asset forfeiture to unlawful search and seizures, and a loss of freedom of speech, the censoring of our speech, the protection of the vaccine makers due to a political decision, economic and political, in 1986, to identify all vaccine makers. So if you were injured by a vaccine before 1986, you would be held legally accountable. And hence, there were very few vaccines and very few vaccine injuries. Once Ronald Reagan signed that act, it opened the sleuth gates, and now we have more than 275 different vaccines in the pipeline, plus the dozens that are available now. And there's been no good science, no gold standard of a double-blind placebo-controlled trial showing their safety and efficacy, to the contrary. But more important than the lack of safety and efficacy, and I'm not asking you to talk about vaccines specifically, is the idea that a group of private interested people, meaning private interest, the pharmaceutical industry, could get laws passed that make them no longer liable for any of their actions, and yet We have no effort whatsoever in America to rescind or revoke those laws. And so therefore the power of these people, like diagnosing someone with a psychiatric disorder that may not even exist, and then the courts mandating a specific treatment that has never been shown to reverse those conditions. But everyone's being paid very nicely for complying with treatments, and yet no one has held those treatments up to scientific scrutiny. And when they are, for depression or anxiety, whatever it is, the orthodox therapies fail, but nothing changes. Then I want to talk about Jeffrey Epstein and how is it that this man could have gotten out of what would have been the greatest sexual, predatory, pedophilic example in American, if not world, history. Hundreds of young ladies, 12 to 14 years old, he sexually abused and used and prostituted. And yet he got away with a slap on the wrist. No other human being could have gotten that. They would have spent the rest of their life in jail. And I'd like you, since you just wrote an article on this today, to address what it means that we have a society that is so permeated with pedophiles. Brad Pitt talked about the pedophiles in Hollywood, but we've known there's big pedophilia rings in Great Britain. In fact, it went clear up to Edward Heath, the prime minister. And the one person who had the courage to expose all that was shot dead. But not before he did a really brilliant discussion of his years-long investigation and how every single place he went, the doors closed when it came to prosecuting these pedophiles. And he was in Scotland Yard. A reporter also for the Times of London investigated the same pedophile stories. He also found that every place he went, from higher up, doors closed, nothing happened. And so we want to talk about this phenomenon in our society. If you're powerful and rich, and if you're in an inner circle of powerful and rich people, you are, once again, like the vaccine makers, you're identified. And now what do you think is going to happen in this current case? Those are the three issues I want to discuss. Let us begin by looking at the deep state and how it manifests. Who do we know actually are members of the deep state? And take us on a story about their power and influence and how behind the scenes they control most everything as far as policies in the United States. The forum is yours.
Yeah, the deep state. How the deep state, how we became aware of it was there was a leaked memo from the FBI. I think it was 3 years ago, to be honest with you. And I did a commentary on it at the time. Very few people had written on it, by the way. And then all of a sudden, I had people contacting me talking about it. But the FBI memo said there was a group under the State Department called the Seventh Floor Group that basically ran the show. They didn't say who it was. But if you look at and study who's really controlling the government, you get an idea. There was a 2014 Princeton University study that was conducted with Northwestern University of professors. And after doing 20 years of policies and laws passed by the U.S. government in Washington, D.C., they came to the conclusion that we do not live in a republic. We live in an oligarchy. It's ruled by a moneyed elite of about 585 billionaires on both sides. They control everything, whoever, who it runs for president, who gets elected, who gets the big contracts. I mean, Amazon with a $10 billion contract with the Pentagon to erect a intelligence cloud for all 17 intelligence agencies, which, by the way, they have access to, and on down the line. Google admits, these are the people, I think, if you want to call it deep state, they know exactly what's going on. Google, by the way, Eric Schmidt, if you know who former head of Google, he was a really big fan of Hillary Clinton, and he was pushing her for the presidency when she ran against Trump. He has large contracts with the NSA and the CIA. And these are all facts. This is not conspiracy theory stuff. So there's a large coterie of very, very wealthy people who run the government. And by the way, I would say, when we get into this a little later, that much of them are involved in a lot of this pedophilia stuff. They know what's going on. This huge, it's a huge market, sex trafficking in the United States. I mean, we can talk about that later, but and all, over one third of them are young boys, by the way. So it isn't just young girls. And so you have what I would say, and it slipped out of Jimmy Carter's mouth. I don't know, Gary, if you saw the interview he did where he mentioned that we live under an oligarchy. He just said it plainly on one of the big TV shows, and basically admitting that that was true. So we are, you know, people want to think that you live in a place where you can go vote and you're going to get this or get that. But even in local governments, and you're talking to me, I've been 40 years of this, filing lawsuits against government officials. At the local level, most of the time, big money runs the show. They're behind the scenes. And these are government officials. These are moneyed officials. They're all connected. And the one thing that they want is to make money. Money is the basis of everything they do, their greed. And so it's a fact that we are ruled by people who do not care about the average American out there. They have, you know, all they want to do. Again, as you see how the internet's developed, how everything around its development, how artificial intelligence now has moved in to run everything, people more and more are being seen as data bits, something to control. And that's how they view us. They don't view us as human beings anymore. And, or they wouldn't be doing what they're doing. They have no, the so-called deep state of government has no respect for the rights of the average American, or you wouldn't be seeing the things that we're seeing happen across the country we're going to talk about. So, we live, you know, again, I will say this, voting only provides the illusion of authenticity as the government seizes the nation's assets while enriching the oligarchic elite. And to give an example, at least 10,000 bills were copied from model legislation written by large groups such as the American Legislative Exchange Council and other groups, and more than 2,100 were signed into law last year. These are written by private corporations that are zoomers in terms of the money they have. The pieces of legislation you see written today are not written by those guys and those women sitting on their butts in Congress that are called our representative. They're written by large moneyed organizations. And when you talk about asset forfeiture and things like that, it's all orchestrated from the top. So that's the basic opening thing I would say, that we think that we have all these things and rights and stuff like that, but we really don't have that. You know, it just doesn't exist. If you can fight them in the courts, I mean, and you see it at the top with the Supreme Court. We have a Supreme Court that generally goes with the flow of the government every time. I mean, we the people have lost our grip over the government, and we lost it a long time ago, by the way. So it's not something just recent. And when Thomas Jefferson was dying in 1826, he wrote a letter where he said, "I'm just shocked at how Americans are already starting to give up their rights so they can sit back and relax and get comforts." And the word eternal vigilance has been lost. I mean, as James Madison said, take alarm at the first experiment with liberties. Most Americans don't have any concept of what's going on because they're too busy watching the tube or their handheld device and not realizing that those handheld devices and television are run by five major corporations that control everything you see. And these are corporations, by the way, that are working with the government. So what I'm coming to is to say this. We live in a corporate state, and it's run by people behind the scenes that want to pretend, make us feel like we actually are a free nation. And I don't believe that to be true. I'm sorry. I disagree.
Let's now go a little deeper here. Let's deal with one of the things that's bothered me, and the government taking in billions upon billions of dollars of assets that they have taken from people who've committed no crime. In fact, they'll take cars, they'll take businesses, homes.
home,
and take cash. Even in Oklahoma, they had a little hand machine that they could take all your credit cards and debit cards and stick it in and max them out.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't get even a ticket. You were told that, you know, if you want to fight it, you know, you can fight it. But then someone has to look at what does it cost to go to a local community, hire a lawyer, file the papers, and then wait until you have a hearing and present your evidence. And what does it say about a country that looks at the average citizen as the enemy? So asset forfeiture is a big issue. Then second is freedom of speech. Right now, we are so immersed in identity politics that someone wrote recently that air conditioning was sexist. And their argument was no basis in reality, that men like the temperature lower than women, so women are always walking around an office freezing, and that's just the sexist.
I disagree with it. My wife likes it lower than I do. Go ahead.
So we're seeing people making stupid statements that are catching on in the media, and I'm concerned about this. But now, if you say something, for example, if you say something that Wikipedia, if Google, if Facebook doesn't agree with, you're going to be censored.
Oh, yeah.
You're not only going to be censored,
but if
the Washington Post gets its way,
you'll
be condemned.
A couple weeks ago, the Declaration of Independence was labeled as hate speech by Facebook.
Yep, but if you're against vaccines, that's considered hate speech. If you're for organic or for vitamin supplementation in your diet, that's considered hate speech. They're scrubbing it. If you're against GMOs and for organic food, that's hate speech. And again, you're categorized and you're criticized and you're targeted.
Yeah.
Share your thoughts with us on this, starting with asset forfeiture.
Well, asset forfeiture, you know, is the idea that if the police pull you over and they find cash in your car, they just take it, and you have to fight to get it back. And they're now taking people's cars. They've taken people's homes, things like that. And, again, most people can't go. You said it correctly. That's why I started the Rutherford Institute, so I would raise money to defend people who couldn't afford lawyers, because I saw more and more people who couldn't afford lawyers. Most people can't get their stuff back because they can't go into court to get it. So it's a huge business. It's shared with the government. It's a billion-dollar business. It's shared with the local police, share it with the federal government. And it's something that, again, if you go back and saw the people who wrote the Constitution and stuff, they would roll over and say, are you people idiots? Why are you allowing this to happen? And they're taking whatever they want. That, you know, an old lady's home they took, you know, a couple of years ago because she couldn't ante up with a certain bill. But and it goes back to what, you know, again, we live in a sort of a semi-illusion. And if you look at the house, people say, I own my home. And I look at them and say, do you really? Go get your deed. And they go down to get their deed. They cannot get the deed. The government keeps it. You know why the government's keeping it? Because you're still paying rent, property tax. You don't own something outright in this country. Again, that's another illusion. They can take your home anytime they want to do it if you don't pay your tax, so-called taxes. If you protest that they're spending your taxes for somebody on something you disagree with, such as funding police to get assets forfeiture or whatever, they can come take your home. Americans are totally asleep. They don't understand it. It's just like when I talk to law students today and lawyers who can't tell me what's in the First Amendment or the basic rights in the Bill of Rights. They have no idea. I talk to law students coming out of Harvard, just graduating, and when they come into my intern program, and I'll ask them, can you tell me the five freedoms in the First Amendment? Many of them look at me blankly. I'll go back to that. Our educational system is part of the problem. It's producing citizens who can't think. They just sit and listen. We don't encourage debate. We want to shut that off. If somebody doesn't agree with you today, it's automatically shut off. And we're losing. We have lost. I won't say that. We have lost the essence of what it means to be free. And I'm seeing some of the largest groups in the country, civil liberty groups now, dodging the issues. They want to be so-called politically correct. They won't defend, if they're a leftist group, they won't defend somebody on the right or whatever. And if you know my work, Gary, I defend whoever, whether you're right or left. I'm not political at all. I don't care about politics. But we're losing the essence of freedom. And do I think it's orchestrated? Yes, I think that those who run the show, if you want to call it the deep state or whatever you want to call it, want a dumbed down population, people that don't think. That's why they want you to stare at your screen devices 10 hours a day. And what I tell people about the screen devices and stuff, they're dividers. They divide us. And with young kids today, people are wondering, well, you know, part of the problem is one large professor said of, I think it was Harvard or where, just recently said that the screen devices were like heroin addiction. And it's causing kids to look into them, reflect, and they see it's a narcissistic image they don't like. The suicide rate among young people is zooming today. Listen, this country is on the verge, in my opinion, of falling, and it already has fallen behind countries like China. China is a totalitarian state, but what people don't realize, many of the things they're doing in China, such as tracking people, giving social credit stores, they've been doing in this country for years. They're called threat assessments now. The Department of Homeland Security is doing threat assessments on every home in America. They go from green to red. And we've had some cases where police show up at the door and they're really agitated. And one reason they're agitated, they have on their phone this threat assessment. You know, people like you, Gary, that are out here speaking, your threat assessment is not a green, let me tell you that. If you happen to own a hunting rifle, your threat assessment's automatic red. Whatever. You've committed a crime here and there, but it all goes into your threat assessment. So we don't study today. I keep telling people education precedes action, but people are not staying educated. And you're right about Wikipedia and Facebook and groups like that. I mean, they're looking for ways to exclude people who are the so-called rebels, and they don't want rebels because rebels seek freedom. Not violent rebels, just rebels.
Okay, let's go to the next issue. I am concerned about our freedom of speech. I'm concerned about the people, the politically correct people, MSNBC and CNN and other places, determining what is acceptable speech. And instead of looking at the world and how our world is crumbling around us, it's on fire, and they're not doing a damn thing about it. I'm sick of the environmental groups being able to get hundreds of millions of dollars, some of them, per group, per year, and yet you never see them doing anything that changes a person's perception or activity concerning the environment. I'm sick of peace groups that are really compromised groups. There are astroturf groups, and the so-called journalists at the New York Times and Washington Post are propagandists today. So everywhere I look, I'm seeing a lot of problems. Now let's go to Jeffrey Epstein, because Epstein represents a person who I believe, again, we'll see if this warrants my concern. I believe that there were people behind Epstein from the deep state who protected him. There is no way in the world that he could have taught at Dalton, one of the most prestigious schools in America, and he wasn't even a college graduate. It doesn't happen. You have to have some very powerful people get that to happen. You don't get away with sexually molesting a minimum of 100 and possibly as high as 1,000 young girls and get away with the slap on the wrist that he got. And now watch what's going to happen. I saw today where authors are going on television saying, now, you know, Bill Clinton didn't know any of this stuff was going on, and Kevin Spacey didn't know any of this stuff was going on. Nonsense. Like, nobody knew about Harvey Weinstein. Everybody knew about Harvey Weinstein. The trouble is that those people were benefiting from getting their films greenlit and winning Academy Awards. They were willing to look the other way and did not put morality and decency and ethics as their top priority. Self-interest and greed was their top priority. Then later they could all point a finger at him. Well, they were also compromised because they knew and didn't say a word. And I'm talking about all the big ones in Hollywood, including people that I knew and who knew everything that was going on. So talk about him today and what is the likely outcome if he has someone behind the scenes who has got all the tapes, because we do know now, and you'd have to go back to the original testimony of the young ladies that were testifying against him from Great Britain, that he had secret cameras hidden in every room of all of his different homes. He had three homes on the island. And sometimes there would be planes, not just one plane, several planes packed with people, famous people from around the world, that would be unloaded and be sexually serviced by these underage girls. All of that would be recorded. That means he has blackmail material on the most powerful people on the planet. And Bill Clinton was on six non-Secret Service trips. And that itself goes against protocol. Give us your insights on the Epstein case and what it tells us about America.
Back in April, I wrote a commentary called "The Essence of Evil: Sex with Children Has Become Big Business in America." It went worldwide. They got over 1 million shares. People were shocked, and I was going, how can you be shocked at something that's just sticking you in the face? I mean, girls sold 10 to 15 times a day in America. 100,000 boys and girls sold annually. It's a $9.5 billion industry, sex trafficking with kids, some kids as young as 4 years old. And I would challenge people to go to Rutherford.org and read The Essence of Evil. I've got all the facts, and it isn't... and. As you know, Gary, it's the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, and you know, not conspiracy publications. Everything I do is documented by what we would call adequate publications. It's a huge industry. It has been going on for years. There have been people way back in the 90s that were screaming about this. And the big people, you just mentioned some of the big names. Now we have Jeffrey Epstein, and you're right. He supposedly had cameras everywhere, so he has some files. The question is, are we going to know who those people are? I mean, it goes over to England. Prince Andrew supposedly is part of it. Clinton, Spacey, go down the list. Do we know if Donald Trump went on his own private airplane? Well, maybe so. It's an epidemic problem, and I've studied the issue. It goes back to the Middle Ages. I mean, this stuff has been going on, playing little boys' private parts, kings, going forward, all the way. Some of the great classic heroes are people that have come forward now were probably into pedophilia. So this Epstein thing is something that should wake people up. But the one thing that I'm really concerned about is... it's just like with Julian Assange. It was a big issue for a while, and where's Julian today? He's in prison, and who gives a damn? I'm afraid that this may sweep by, and again, the power elite, you want to call it the deep state, the oligarchy, wants this to get the hell out of the news media as soon as possible, and they're going to try their best to do it. And again, I have another commentary that came out today called "The Heart of Darkness, Sexual Predators Within America's Power Elite," and I mean, when I saw Stanley Kubrick's movie, Eyes Wide Shut, I don't know if you've seen that, Gary, but he mysteriously died 6 days after that. He basically exposed the idea that there was a worldwide sex trafficking pedophilia industry going on within the elite of the world. And it's something that... it's not just that they want sex. They're getting something out of it, whether it's energy, whatever. And again, I've had people talk to me that have been in and out, you know, here and there out of the industry. They say these guys are really sick. They're into something that's so far beyond sex. What it is, I don't know exactly. But with this Epstein thing, I think it shows you that the people running the show, and I'm going to go back to that, 2014 Princeton University said it were run by a group of millionaires, an oligarchy, and I guarantee you, many of these people are in that. When I was a young lawyer, when I was first started working in and out of Washington, D.C., I had a couple of senators meet with me, and they told me, they said, boy, there's some sex stuff going on in this town you won't believe, and they talked to me about some of the senators who were dancing in tutus and doing this, and I was a young guy. I just looked at them and said, well, these guys are nuts. Come to find out later, as I did more of my research, they're not nuts. And there's a lot of big folks. I mean, Corey Haim, you remember the actor, the young actor? He came out. I don't know if you saw some of his interviews, how he was sexually molested in Hollywood. Corey Feldman and some of those. This has been going on. It's in the entertainment industry. I will say it. I think we're ruled by perverts. And most Americans don't get it. I mean, when you again, we're running into cases now where it's all the way down into the police agencies. A number of cases now where policemen have been sexually assaulting. These cases have come forward, and they're really grotesque, by the way. So we have a government, and, you know, again, what we would used to call morality and has totally been lost, something no one talks about anymore. How do you, you know, again, it's how we view people. Do you view a young girl as something that should be taken care of, not touched, you know, protected? Or do you see her flaunting herself, doing twerks? They're 8-9-year-old girl doing twerks and so-called TikToks, they call them, showing their thighs open with short shorts on, reaching their hands up into their pants. The Facebook, all these, and porn is such a big industry today. I mean, I have women who have complained to me about their husbands staying up to 3 in the morning watching porn. It's just pushed everywhere now. As I tell people, there are young people today who see things, by the way, that I saw, I didn't see till I was in college or didn't have any idea they existed. But you're having 8-9-year-old kids seeing it today. And there's no filter. No one's protecting them. Is it a lost cause? I will be honest with you. The way that the internet's going and Facebook with this kind of stuff, it's going to be very, very difficult. And again, it's a $9.5 billion a year industry on the lower level. What do you think it is on the upper level? And I'll be honest with you, I think that the federal government's involved. I think the NSA and the CIA, they watch everything people do. And we may want to talk about that a little later, but there's nothing you to do. There's no privacy today. You cannot get away. Your phone listens to you. Everything you're doing, the FBI says they can turn your phone on from a distance in your laptop when it's off and listen to you.
John, let's talk about that now before we get too far into the program. If you just joined us, I'm Gary Nall, and constitutional lawyer and scholar John Whitehead is my guest. We're talking about the things that are wrong, that we're not addressing and not changing. John, before we get into this next section with you, I just want to go over this. I was concerned when I heard about how they were selecting the next president. Now, this is back in the 1980s, and they were looking at Bill Clinton. I didn't know who Bill Clinton was. He was the Attorney General of Arkansas, later to become the governor.
I don't know. If you know my head, I knew him in college. I did the first political interview with him. So go ahead.
Okay. And anyhow, I'm going to turn it over to you in a moment. But I sent down... I hired an ex-Army high-level intelligence, retired intelligence agent, to collect information. And he found out that Mena, Arkansas was the number one place where drugs were coming in the United States, never arrest there in its history, and that the people were taking whole envelopes full of cash to the governor, that the governor's special detail, including state police, would block off a street where he was going to see a mistress, that he was involved in all kinds of things and pardoned a man named Lassiter and pardoned his own half-brother Billy for drug charges. And the whole community down there in Little Rock was run like an organized crime. And the four people who were involved was Hillary, Bill Clinton, and another fellow who talked about it. He came forward. We interviewed him. And he told us, I would sit at the table in the morning right there in the governor's mansion, the kitchen, with Bill and sometimes with Les Hubbell, who ran the Rose Law Firm, and we'd talk about what we were going to do, and people would get loans, and that's how they did it. There was a development corporation that Bill Clinton started, and you could get a development loan through there. The people who got the development loans were all politically connected and never paid any of it back. None of those people were ever charged or went to jail. Millions upon tens of millions of dollars just disappeared. Everybody had a price, and they paid the money. And that was Mrs. Harriman of the Averill Harriman was her husband. They were one of the most powerful families in American history. She ran a group that was selecting people, and Winthrop Rockefeller was the governor, and they made Bill Clinton into a Rhodes Scholar. He didn't even finish it. There was a charge of sexually assaulting a woman at Oxford, and he had to quit. In any case, through all their crisis, through all their moral shortcomings, they still managed to become president and first lady twice with multiple scandals. And time and again, it was very partisan. And I thought, how is it that a man could have that many women say that they were sexually assaulted, Kathleen Wiley, one of them, and no one take them seriously, none of the feminist groups, none of the people who today would be supporting, and rightly so, the Me Too movement, no one supported them. And then I met the woman who was his mistress and interviewed her for quite some time, and she was a mistress for 29 years, right through his marriage, and said that, oh, you know, Bill's, you know, he's just a nice old guy from the South, but he's a sex maniac. And before he was even attorney general, she said he bragged about having 3,000 different sexual partners. We found out he was having sex in the White House, including with, I believe it was Walter Mandel's daughter. And the Secret Service were given the task of going in and cleaning up after them. And they testified to this, and they went on the record. Yeah, this is what we were doing. We didn't believe that should have been part of our job, and we were offended by it. So how is it that such a dysfunctional, completely compromised couple becomes the most powerful couple in the world and highly qualified, very positive people, never have a chance? Take us through this, please.
Well, again, I filed a lawsuit against Clinton, and he fell out of court for about $1 million. He didn't really. Hillary was running the show, by the way. The lawyers told me, Bob Bennett, his attorney, looked me in the eye several times, and I said, well, what do you think is going to happen here? He said, I got to talk to Hillary. And I looked at him one time. I said, aren't you going to talk to the president? He went, no, he doesn't make any of the decisions. And he walked out of the room. So, I saw really up close. I mean, all the women that, again, I had 10 depositions of women who came forward who, again, were saying many of the things you're saying about Clinton and his sex craziness, and which is true. But as I was handling that case, I kept running across more and more like Secret Service agents that would occasionally talk to me and tell me all the stories about other presidents across the board that had the same issues. And it's part of that culture that is running the show. I mean, that's how, again, you ask, how can sex trafficking be a $9.5 billion a year industry, and most people don't have any idea what's going on? They're just doing it. They're running the show. They're getting what they want to get. So, again, it's a huge business. But many of the, you know, people out there running the show, like I said, they're into this thing. They're the people that are jumping on the planes with Epstein and going to his faraway island to have sex with young girls. And I will be honest with you, I don't think there's any president in recent times probably that has not been implicated in that kind of stuff, including the president we have right now. I'm not saying I don't have all the facts on that, but just the fact that he was in the immediate circle making praiseworthy comments about Epstein, et cetera, and they knew what was going on. If they knew what was going on, I know Trump knew what was going on. Why in the hell didn't they say something about it? This is an awful thing. We've got to stop it. Someone take a stand on this issue. But again, it's a huge injury. It's across the world, by the way. It's in Saudi Arabia. It's in wherever you want to go. It's a huge international business, sex with young girls and women, older women, who basically are beaten. And the pimps beat them, drug them, and make sure they do the acts that they need to do. And again, it's more than sex, from what I've been told by some of the people involved in the industry. There's a certain energy factor they get off, for whatever reason, on what happens during sex. So, like I said, I knew Bill Clinton in college. I did the first interview with him when I was in law school, and I was shocked when I found out that he might become president of the United States, knowing his mental ability, by the way. So I will say it again. I don't think anybody can become president unless the so-called deep state allows it. If, however, you get in office and you decide you want to say something morally opposed to the deep state, people like John F. Kennedy, by the way, and others, it's going to be very, very difficult to stay alive and stay in power. That's just my opinion. But, I mean, does that answer your question? You need...
Yeah, that answers it. We select them before we elect them. Now I'm going to share something
interesting with you. They are selected.
Yeah,
listen, people, listen. They give you a ballot box, and you put your ballot in, okay? Do they really give a damn? No. I mean, the two choices, you got two choices, okay? I mean, you got to be kidding me. This is a huge country, what, 300 million people, whatever, and you got Hillary or Trump? You can't have 10 choices? You can't have 15 choices? I mean, who in the hell came up with that idea, you know? And I would say this, if I was writing a fiction novel, I would sit there and pose and say, how do I get control of people? Let's see. Oh, we'll give them a choice. Yeah, that's how I'll do it. That's how I'll control them. Let's see, they can vote for a jackass or an elephant. Yeah, a Democrat or a Republican. That'll work. And we'll throw in a few, you know, other parties occasionally. You know, we'll have these debates. And, you know, and people sit in front of the TV set, and they believe what they're being told. But I tell people, I don't watch television. I tell people, listen, if you believe what's being said on any of the networks as fact without actually doing your own research and thinking about it, you're acting like an idiot. And, again, people have used this phrase, an idiocracy. The way I see this country develop, we have become a nation, an idiocracy. Okay, you talk about vaccines and stuff like that. All the stuff that's come out on vaccines, the harm they cause and whatever. And let's go back to this. When I first went to Washington, D.C., I had one senator told me, he looked at 14th Street and he said, this is Pharmaceutical Avenue. And I went, what do you mean by that? He said, all their lobbyists, he said, are here. You know, they control everything, you know. And that's what he told me. And this was a well-known senator, by the way. And I said, wow, I didn't know that. You know, and I was a 20-some-year-old lawyer, and I looked around and I said, "That's so the pharmaceutical industry runs everything?" He said, basically, yes, they run the show. And money runs the show in Washington, D.C. And let me say this again. Google, Amazon, Facebook, all these groups are working with China now, by the way, very closely. That should scare the pants off of anybody. China is a monster. I just talked to a Chinese guy who came back from China. He said, I couldn't believe it. I hadn't been back, you know, in quite a while. He says, it's a monster over there. He said, everything, you're being tracked. He said, he was in a restaurant. He said, a police car pulled up. A guy was riding a bicycle in the street. The police jumped out, grabbed the guy, slammed him face down, threw his bicycle to the side, threw him in the car and drove off. He said, and nobody looked up. Nobody looked up. I'm telling you, we're headed toward a corporate global state. In fact, I will say this. We're already there, basically, and we're moving into that right now. And it's going to be ruled by some very ruthless people over top, and it's going to be done by much of it, by the way, it's going to be you're going to be targeted by artificial intelligence, which basically runs the Internet, much of the Internet now. Again, let me go back and say, a couple weeks ago, you had the Declaration of Independence labeled as hate speech. That was a robot. I mean, people are getting tagged on all these things. Again, threat assessments by the government. The police, by the way, and this is something we haven't talked about, have so much. They have a new thing called HexWave, which they can scan the streets now. They scan your body. It's like a TSA scanner. They can see what you're carrying in your pockets. I warn people, don't go buy a toy gun for your kid and be carrying it in your pocket in the big cities now. You could get pulled over and you might get shot if you pull it out to show it to them. Everything you're doing, Stingray devices, they're downloading everything on your phone, your laptop that the police drive by now. They're doing that. The NSA is downloading over 2 billion emails daily of American citizens, all your Facebook posts. All your phone calls are being recorded, essentially. And I don't know if you know about the Five Eyes program, the Signet Seniors program, but the NSA works with 17 countries worldwide, France, Denmark, Germany, I can go down the list. They're creating a global surveillance state, total surveillance state, where you're watched whatever you do. And they're connected. Listen, I don't know if you saw recently, but ICE and the FBI now has access to all your photographs that the Department of Motor Vehicles have on your license plate. I mean, your license. They're matching your face up. Every time a crime is committed in America, your face is matched up. So what does that say? You're a suspect. We're all suspects in the surveillance state. And all it takes is one small thing to get you wrapped up, get you arrested, and taken to jail. And if you're the kind of person that does not have the money to fight back, you're going to be in there a while, because you know who runs the prisons? Private companies. Almost all prisons are run by private companies. The GEO Group and the ALEC Group are running it, where they make money. They put the prisoners there, and you can't get out now.
Give me an idea,
most
John.
Most Americans have no
the
idea.
Average,
this stuff
hold on a second, John.
When I talk about
the average,
they look at me and go, "You're concerned."
John, hold on a minute. The average private prison in the United States, including the ones owned by the groups that are the top ones, top three, they're charging $747 a day to keep a person without a toothpaste or soap, giving them garbage food in these inhumane cages. They're making that per day. Well, it turns out you can spend that in a suite at the Trump Hotel in Washington, D.C., and it's actually $2 less expensive than to be in these internment cages, which were created by Barack Obama. And the hypocrisy, if you're going to be against unfair practice for migration and inhumane conditions that these people frequently face, then be it across the board, not just because it's politically convenient or you want to get these people to vote for you in the next election so you act like we care about you, when they haven't cared about anyone. And everything that Trump has said, regrettably, Obama said, and Clinton said. Clinton said, and I have these speeches, they're identical. It didn't matter who said it, they're all the same. You know, that these people must be able to speak English, they cannot come here illegally, they're going to be deported. And in fact, Barack Obama deported more people than Clinton and Trump together, yet no criticism, because he was a part of that deep state which controls the media, which controls our legislators. And finally, and I'll give you an opportunity to focus on this, the question is, look at how compromised the media is. If you want to vote for a woman, that's fine. I listed over 200 women who had the complete qualifications to be president. Why would you get such a compromised person? Well, because the entire banking community supported her. The pharmaceutical industry, the energy cartels supported her. The big Agra, Monsanto, all supported her. Everybody supported her. Why? Why would you support her and her husband? Because you knew you were going to get taken care of. You were going to make a lot of money. The rule was 1 to 1,000. For every dollar that you put into a politician's pocket, you get $1,000 in favors in return. So they knew what they could expect. They were afraid of Trump because he's so unpredictable and irascible and contentious. And that's why they had to guarantee that she would be elected. They thought it was a wrapped-up deal. She didn't even go to certain of the blue states or the red states and blue states to campaign. That's how certain they were. And then when they saw that she had a chance of losing, that's when they started their investigation, all on false information. The Steele dossier was completely fraudulent, paid for by Clinton and Fusion GPS. All of these groups were funding the destruction of the president. As bad as he is, that's a coup. The media, the deep state, all working together, the FBI, the Justice Department, the CIA, the National Security Agency, Brennan, Clapper, all working together. I believe all those people in the next 6 months, starting in 3 months, over the next 6 months, are going to be hauled before investigative attorneys through the Justice Department and grand juries, and we're going to see a lot of people turning. That said, my final thought is, when you look at the world we live in, the deep state controls everything. The last thing they want is a free and independent press, free and independent individuals who are speaking their truth without harassment. And right now, you cannot speak anything that represents a challenge to the establishment, or you're censored on Facebook and Google, you're vilified in Wikipedia, and that's the way it's going to be from here on out. Joseph Marcola was scrubbed off YouTube, and other holistic doctors are being scrubbed. Anyone who questions vaccine, including the millions of people who've been damaged or their children by vaccines, are being considered the lunatic fringe. And as Jimmy Wales says, the lunatic charlatans. So you can't even have an opinion today that is opposite the status quo. And yet all these people at CNN, all these people at the New York Post and the Washington Post and the Chicago Tribune, all these other papers, they were all complicit because none of them looked for the truth, or they would have seen it and exposed it. Take your time in the next 4 minutes. Share your final thoughts about where we're at in our commissions, no missions of being responsible to hire the right people to oversee us and to take back our rights that the Constitution guaranteed.
Well, listen, local newspapers, which I always argue were, as I saw the internet developing, I said, they will be the last bastions of freedom. But as I travel across the country and talk to people, people like Warren Buffett, et cetera, are buying up all the local newspapers. And people are complaining now that their local newspapers have only a small portion of local news now. They're just reprinting national news. That's been lost. With the internet, I think the internet spells the death of freedom totally. The people at the top, if they don't want you to speak, they can eliminate you. They can block you. And they're doing it. We've represented several groups recently who have just published a column by somebody that somebody on Facebook, or they have the wrong algorithm with the artificial intelligence bots that are running much of it, they're excluded. What we call human freedom, in my opinion, is evaporating very quickly. It's going global, by the way. Like I said, when you have that Signet Seniors group, it's run by the NSA in 17 countries around the world, they're engulfing the globe. They have bases around the globe now, the National Security Agency. Wherever you travel, you're being watched, and they're going to control. They want to make sure that if that rebel gets a little out of hand, they're going to smash that rebel. And how do you smash a rebel today? You take them off of Facebook. You take them off the internet totally. And like I said, when you have companies like Google working with Chinese government intimately, and Facebook actually working with the Chinese government and censoring people, that gives you a clue of where the future is headed. I've been saying this, and I've seen it. We're moving into a global surveillance state, which is going to be so awesome that George Orwell was right in everything he said, but if he woke up today and took a look, he'd say, what in the hell have you people been doing? Why didn't you see this coming? We were all screaming. Philip K. Dick and all of them were screaming it early on. This is coming. You better do something. I think there's some freedom fighters left out there, and I love them. I think they're great. I like them. These are people that are not politically correct. They'll say some things that are stupid, you know, and I don't agree with, but they're out there yelling and screaming. That's great, and I want to see that. I happen to be one person that, I had a former CIA agent send me an email not too long ago, and he said, I'm surprised you're still alive. He said, I was a hitman with the CIA. He said, people like you, we've gotten rid of. He said, be careful. That's an actual email I received. And Gary Null, people like you are on the list. And, you know, there's that list, Maine Corps, that the government admits they have of over 8 million names of people they will round up in time of distress. These are American citizens. They admit they have that. And they have they have bases, military bases across the country already have, supposedly, I was told by a former NSA agent, they already have some detention camps already built for that particular issue. It happens. And the last thing I would say here, too, is that they put out a video of the Pentagon several years ago. It's the 2030 video. It's only a little over 5 minutes long. It was produced by and directed by a Hollywood director who remains anonymous. But let me tell you, it looks a lot like Spielberg. Very well done. People should look at it. It's predicting by 2030 the country is going to collapse in major cities, and they're going to have to impose martial law. With the way that the local police are arranged now with all their equipment, they work with the FBI, they work with the military, we're already under a martial law state. In a true sense. At any moment they can shut this country down now. They're all over the country.
And John, I want to thank you for coming on. Recently, someone stopped me in an airport who listens to the show and recognized me, and he said, Gary, I think we're making major progress. And I said, in what? He said, we're making progress of creating original material and showing it to public, but the public have not yet in any measure embraced it for change. He said, why not? I said, because we're not in enough pain yet. When we get in enough pain, then we'll rebel and protest. Until that time, people will just get distracted. Hopefully, your work and others will keep people a little more focused on what they should do and protecting their rights. John Whitehead, thank you for being on. We appreciate your presence. And John Whitehead's newest article, The Heart of Darkness, The Sexual Predators Within America's Power Elite, was sent up today, and it's on his Rutherford.com website. John Whitehead is down in Charlottesville, Virginia. And again, his website is Rutherford.org. I'm Gary Nall for the Progressive Commentary Hour. Thank you all for listening, and have a nice day.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying.